All right, well, welcome to the Jimmy Rhodes Show. Tonight, I have a very special guest who directs several very special races. And if you have any experience in the Virginia ultra running scene, then you likely have gotten a hug or a handshake by this very influential person, the one and only David Horton. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Jimmy Rhodes. I am honored to be interviewed by you. Maybe the greatest interviewee I've ever had.
Oh, you know what? And this has been a long time coming, but I'm really excited. So I could go on and on about David Horton's accomplishments for those who don't know. I won't. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You used to have the AT and PCT speed record. You have a great ultra running resume, wins at Old Dominion, JFK, Hard Rock, Barkley finisher. But I think that where you are most memorable and you affect the most people's lives in a very lasting and powerful way is race directing. You currently still direct arguably the two most special ultramarathon races in Virginia, the Promised Land 50K, which has happened for 23 years. It started in 2001, and the Hellgate 100K, which is in December, which we've got 22 years of that under the belt, and that's been going on since 2003. And you also started Mountain Masochist 50 miler in 1983, which is mind blowing. And so when I think about David Horton, I mostly think of a person who really cares about every runner and cares that they're challenged. Not so much that they do well or they PR, but that they are challenged. And you've created courses to make that happen. And on top of that, your races have this very classic community feel. And so when you go to Promised Land or Hellgate or Masochist, you really feel that you're wanted there by the race director. And they want to know about your journey. And I think that's really set the stage for what all other ultras in this area kind of aspire to be. I think the community and the ultra ethos started a really long time ago, and the really great things that we love about what's happening now started in 1983 and 2003 and 2001, not just a race, but a community experience where relationships are built and you'll be challenged. So so we are here to talk about Promised Land as maybe the last podcast for our Cats 50K training group and you know, probably not the last Jimmy Rhodes podcast. So David, I want to start from the beginning. I want you to take me back to 2001. What made you want to start the Promised Land 50K? And talk to me a little bit too, like what was going on in 2001? What was like the Virginia ultra running landscape back then?
It wasn't near as busy as it is now. There's a lot more ultras now. In fact, that's one of the great things, tough things about the situation now is you have lots of ultras to pick from. And when people start new ultras, sometimes they have trouble getting the kind of feels they'd like to have because there's just so much competition. And that's a good thing. And there's a lot more ultra runners now than there were then. Back then, there weren't that many. Back then, the Promised Land was sort of the race during that period of time, just like the Damascus was back in 83. It was the race. There wasn't hardly any other races around here. So basically, when it started, I told George Wortley, I said, you know, I'd like to start another race. And I'd like to start it somewhere up around the in the mountains, 50K. And we didn't have a good mountainous 50K at the time. Basically, back then, before Promised Land, nearly all the ultras were 50 milers, not 50 Ks. And now there's a lot of 50 Ks, but not too many 50 milers. So basically, I was looking for a 50 K that mountainous 50 K that we could start and have for local ultra runners, as well as other ultra runners from around the nation, especially East Coast ultra runners. But so we started looking for different trails, and we sort of plotted out a course, and the Forest Service rejected our first one, and then we had to put some other trails in there, and finally we figured out the course. and figured out what we wanted to do, and we thought that was 50K, and it was 50K plus a little more.
Plus a little more. Plus, plus, plus.
Yes.
Yeah. And well, tell me about the course too. So like you often talk about you and George doing a lot of these courses together. So I mean, at some point, were you just like, well, this is just kind of outside of Lynchburg? What did you know that like you just had to have Apple Orchard Falls as the centerpiece? Was there any kind of one thing that really drug you to that particular place?
Well, what's sort of amazing is we'd sort of establish and determine what the course was going to be. Basically, we determined we're going to start at this camp, and it's called the Promised Land Youth Camp.
Yeah.
So, what is the name of the race? Promised Land 50K.
Yeah.
So, that's the way it got its name and everything. And so, we started the race there and sort of trying to figure out a course. And we did not have Apple Orchard Falls Trail in the course because we thought there's no way they'll let us use that because that's such a popular hiking trail and lots of people use it. So we didn't even ask for it. And we designed a course and they said, nope, you can't have that. They said, why don't you use this trail called the Apple Orchard Falls Trail? I said, okay. So it wasn't us, it was them. It was the Forest Service that suggested that we use that. And we didn't even want to ask for it. So sometimes things work out better if you don't ask. So anyway, they said that, and so we figured out the course with we had had a minor adjustment using some other trails and sort of made some trails and cleared some old trails and opened up the course, but they said, no, use this. And we said, okay. So we did.
Yeah, well,
And what's thankful about Promised Land and special about Hellgate and Promised Land is both courses have never changed. From the start to now, they've never changed. Basically, they've always been the same. There's been, maybe you go around the tree this way or go around the tree another way, but there's been no changes to Promised Land and there's been no changes to Hellgate. And that's quite remarkable. Whereas Holiday Lake, we had lots of changes there. Mountain Maskus, we had lots of changes there. But these two have not changed.
yeah, which I really value that. Maybe I think a lot of people value that. And just it's amazing. You can go back to 2001. Anyone who's interested, go to ultrasignup.com, look up Promised Land, and you can click on 2001, 2002, 2003. And I mean, you really had this great, who's who of, classic ultra runners then. And also, I think a really great thing is, the records, the women's record just went down recently, but the men's record, Eric Grossman from 2012. So we're talking something that's, 13 years old, and no one seems to be able to beat that. But to me, that's such a great thing that, and forget about the super fast people, just when I think of a lot of the people who have run the race for 15 years, and they're sharing their experience with people who are just doing it for the first time. And that's a really special thing to be able to take like through time, through the community. I'm sure that's something that you really can appreciate as the race director. Yeah.
Yeah, you can compare times from now versus 10 years ago versus 15 years ago versus 20 years ago. And same course. Now, the conditions are not always the same, but the course is the same. So you can compare times and it's meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking back at kind of those same things that I guess, what is your favorite thing about Promised Land from the race director's standpoint? And I guess this is a different question, but is it, the finish? Is there something about the course? Like, what would you say over the many years of this race, that you really just look forward to every time you put in all this work to do this race?
It's an event. It's an event. And it's not just a race. It's a very competitive race, very competitive men's field, very competitive women's field, but it's an event. The pre-race, the post-race, And everyone in that big field, and probably 75% of the people camp out in that big field. They start there. They eat. We order 100 pizzas. We eat pizzas on Friday night. They bring all sorts of food, and everyone camps out. And then we have a big bonfire, and it's just really neat, talking around the campfire as well as everyone being together. It's not just a few of you together. It's everyone basically in the event. Even the people who are the sissies have to stay in hotels back in towns. They'll come for the pre-race, and they'll come for the pizza, and they'll come for the bonfire. Then they'll go back to their sissy beds in Bedford or Lynchburg. Then they'll come back out early on Saturday morning, and of course, the real people stay at the event and stay at the event, finish, start at the event, finish at the event, and get their awards at the event, and then share with everyone else. So that's what I like. And that's what I like with respect to Hellgate. That's what I like with respect to used to when I directed the Mountain Masters. It was an event. We had the pre-race and the post-race. And of course, we had the race itself.
And I think that is such a special thing. It is easy sometimes to just want to be anonymous and drive up, grab your bib, go back to your car and kind of not do every, anything, not talk to anybody, but these events that you have started, which again, I think many other classic races, I think of a lot of the VHTRC races and a lot of other successful Virginia races that have been around for a while, kind of have that same formula. But yeah, it's great. I've made so many friends that at the finish line and hanging out beforehand and at the pre-race. So it's great. And boy, that Promised Land Youth Camp too. I mean, what a score that is. It's just, of course, the name, it just had to be, but it's such a great field and location and camping and start. So talk a little bit about that too. I mean, that was just a nice find, and are the obviously the people there must hopefully be pretty supportive of your event.
Yes, they are. And in fact, not only are they supportive of our event, we're supportive of what they've done. I've made a number of donations over the years to the upkeep of that. But Bob and Carrie Anderson, Bob used to run the race. And in fact, his last ultra that he finished was the Promised Land 50K. And then when he ran Highland Sky that summer, later in the summer, he passed away at that race. Well, his last finish was there. Well, what Bob and Carrie did over the years was they donated, and I'm not quite sure, but it's in the neighborhood of $50,000 to the
Wow.
camp to rebuild much of the facilities there. Many of the facilities were not near in good shape as they are now. They were very sad facilities years ago, but they donated enough money to rebuild the facilities and make them much, much better. So there's a good relationship between both of us. And in fact, if you see on the outside when you come into the camp, it says a Promised Land Youth Camp. Then down below, it has home of the Promised Land 50K.
Yep, that's awesome. That's so great and valuable to know that, hopefully for years and years to come,
Yes.
everything can stay the same and be the same. And yeah, and it's an amazing course, maybe just to talk about that really quick. You've got this incredible climb up that first gravel road that's I'll say too, as a runner, I think I've run Promised Land 7 times now, and even in the front of the pack, it's just so great. Everybody's talking. That's
Yeah.
really where you meet your friends, I think, for the day, because everyone knows you can only go out so fast on that hill. So it's such a great prelude, having that there. So you've never run the race itself, correct? Like in on race day.
No,
Yeah,
I
but
have never run on race day. I have run the Damascus, twice, and I've never raced Hellgate either. I've never raced Promised Land, and I probably will never race Promised Land. I may race Holly Lake someday, but we'll see. But not Promised Land.
and then yeah, it's very unique too. It's kind of funny when you can almost break down the race into like two big climbs, but of course there's a million climbs in the connecting places, and going up on that side of the parkway, going down on the other, and just, a long, long journey until you climb up those falls back to the parkway and then back down. So yeah, it's I think there's just so many things about it that make it such a favorite race. But may I add, mostly the finish line. Every year I've ever run it, just the camaraderie of hanging out there is just fantastic. In the spring, we have a good chance for good weather and all the food in the pavilion and everything. And I know you're exhausted by then, but I notice you just sit there or stand there, and you really try to make sure you don't miss anybody's finish. And I think the runners can really appreciate that you're very excited, no matter who they are, even when you don't know people, that they finished. And that's a really great thing to see.
Yes. Well, what I like to, especially with respect to, back to the course, is that you start off down low and you climb up high. And by the time you climb up to the highest point in the first part of the course, you climb back up to where it's still winter and not many leaves on the trees. Then you drop down the other side where it's spring, make a loop down there. Then you climb back up, going back to the camp, back to winter. And then you go back down to spring. So you see different seasons, different leaves on the trees. And I know some people said it has probably the best wildflowers of any race around on the course. And that's just really neat. And it's just the sort of the height of spring. I think it's just a great, great springtime race.
Yep. And once the sun comes up, and most of us are on the famous grassy road, which we're on for many miles. Some people love it, some people hate it, but that is this beautiful, just sunrise view, and you just have all those hints of green coming up and flowering trees, and everybody's kind of happy there because we just started running, but also there's this really incredible scene. And yeah, to your winter comment. I know 2 years I've run it, we've had snow and sleet up top, and then it wasn't happening later on, but that's always also just a really neat thing, just all the different weather that we can have. I looked into it. I was on a kick of trying to find where some of the old growth forests in Virginia still are, and I was really excited when I found that all along Cornelius Creek, like way below Apple Orchard Falls, as you're running down past Cornelius Creek, and that it is this huge section of old growth forest. And I think that's one of the prettiest areas as we run along the creek and some of the bridges that cross that before we get to the Cornelius Creek aid station the first time. That is old growth forest and hasn't been logged ever. So I think that's such a neat thing to be running through.
I do too. And in fact, that used to be really nice, smooth trail down through there. But one spring we had a flood and it got 6 inches overnight and it washed a lot of it out and made it a lot rockier. But it's still really, really pretty because you run about 3 miles right next to a beautiful roaring spring stream.
Yep. So one topic that I really wanted to talk about today, especially since this is geared to our first time Promised Land runners, is your Liberty University running class. These are college kids, and a lot of them sign up for Promised Land, and finish it at an incredible like success rate. And I'm sure youth has a lot to do with that, but there must be also just a secret in your mentoring and your training of them. So tell us first, when and how did you start your running class at Liberty University?
Actually, I don't know. This is my 46th year of teaching. And I will also add that this is my last year of teaching. I'm retiring after this year. But I started that class, I don't know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I require the class in the spring, the advanced running class in spring, to run Promised Land. And I put pressure on the people in the beginning running class to run Promised Land as well. And I've only had one student ever not finish Promised Land. So basically, they finished. And I said, "You don't want to be number two." And I said, "Plus, we're going to run together next Tuesday as a class. And you want to have your Patagonia running shorts that you've earned and the shirt that you've earned and wear that. If you don't finish, you don't get to wear it and you'll be left out." So no pressure, but yes, there's pressure. You've got to finish. You can finish. It's a 10-hour time limit, and you keep moving, and you're young enough. You haven't trained for it enough, but you're young enough that you can finish. Do it now. And they do.
So still, I still just find that amazing. And isn't your Richmond Marathon, is that for beginning running or is that another option for your
That's
advanced?
advanced running, but
Okay.
then I put pressure on the beginning students to run the marathon too. Anybody can run a marathon. As someone says, anyone can run a marathon, but it takes a special kind of idiot to run an ultra marathon. So anyway, I guess there's special kinds of idiots.
But see, I'm still looking at that and saying, like, man, okay, these are just kids of a wide swath of, abilities, and they're just taking this class, and they probably don't know what they're getting into, and to go from whatever their base might be, which it's not like these kids are coming in running 40-mile weeks, right?
No.
No, so again, like, I think the Richmond Marathon, like, what's your success rate there? Do most of the kids finish that as well?
I've never had one not finish the Richmond Marathon. I said, how are you going to get back home? If you don't finish, you don't get back home. You stop out on course. I don't know how you're going to get back. So you finish. And it's amazing how it's a cool end thing. I don't know. I maybe had 20 register this week. And how much have you trained? What's your longest run? And very few had run more than 10 miles. Longest run for most of them was about 10 miles. And some had run 15. But then there's two or three young kids that I think might win this year. And they might, there's one guy that I had in my class semester before last. I think he might win as well. He set a FKT on a classic run here this past week. Unreal. So he may be stupid enough to win and think that he can do it, you know?
So how do you what do you think is the mindset for these kids? And again, youth does mean a lot. I'm 49, so I mean, gosh, I do appreciate when you're 18 or 19 or 20, you've got some resiliency, but still, going out for 9 hours is 9 hours. So what do you think is the reason for success? Do you make it fun? Do you get them all in together? Like you got to have some ideas of why they finish at such a high rate.
Peer pressure, and ignorance. They don't know what they're getting into. And see, I don't, last year at Promised Land, we had 54 people finish. I suspect we're going to have more than that finish this year. So I didn't have all 54 of those in class. I probably had, 15 or 20 of them in class, but not 54. I mean, they're talking it up. It's a, sort of the cool thing to run Promised Land. And, I do give them a little bit of cut rate on the entry fee. I won't tell you about that, but they just do it, and it's peer pressure. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And so it's just amazing the number of people that say they're going to do it, and they haven't ever done hardly any training. So they don't know eating and drinking and what they should do. They don't know most of the time. So because I haven't talked to all of them.
So what is like a typical training run look like for class? Okay, we're going out for our class run. How do you do that for them? I'm just curious, like
Well,
what is a day in the life of a Horton running class student?
I run anywhere and everywhere. Of course, I don't run. I bike, and I bike anywhere and everywhere. I bike through buildings. I bike through classrooms. Not anyone could get away with this, and I dare someone to try it again to do it. But I bike anywhere and everywhere, and I'll say I'm tireless walk. So I have run, walk, run, walk, run, walk. And as the semester goes on, we run more and walk less. And I stay as a group, and if they start hanging back, I'll say, let's walk some, and we'll walk a little bit. So basically, it's just anywhere. I make it fun, make it interesting. This is cool. It's neat. And a lot of them will say, I got a note today from a girl that she said, I appreciate you believing in me and helping me buy my first pair of real good running shoes, which I did. And I asked students about that. And I try to get them good running shoes, and sometimes I buy them all completely myself. And she said, I appreciate you believing in me and getting me to run more. And she said, I wanted to take this class to learn to like running, and now I like running.
That's great.
And that's true of a lot of them. It's a cool thing. It's not where you're fast or not. And I don't make them run fast, and they don't have to run a fast time for in Promised Land for this class. Every one of them, I don't tell them this, but every one of them are probably going to make A's in the class anyway.
Yeah. Well, I see those students running and finishing, and they really are having fun. And you can
Yes.
tell at the finish line as you keep seeing them come in, you can kind of pick up like who the students are, and some of them are finishing together, but they are, not only of course very ecstatic and proud of themselves, but they just really were having fun. You see their conversations afterwards, and I just think that's got to be a big part of the success, but it's really great to see. So that's going to be your new challenge now that you're retiring, which big congratulations, but you're going to have to keep the pipeline coming. So
Yeah, I
maybe you
don't
have to
know.
find your running class protege to
Yeah,
pick
I don't know about that. I don't know what's going to happen there. Hadn't
yeah.
really thought about it because I've always thought about the race right now. I'm thinking about getting all the aid stations covered, picking up all the shirts and stuff tomorrow at the place, and seeing if people like the design that I picked out, like the color that I picked out. I make about 99.9% of the decisions. So if you don't like a decision, it's my fault, or congratulations go to me. But what I do like about all those young runners there, it's amazing. When you go to an ultra race, how many parents do you see there? When you come to Promised Land, you will not believe the number of parents you'll see there. This is the biggest thing they've ever done in their life. And so they get a lot of their parents there. So I get to meet their parents, and especially some of the students I've never met before. And they parents think it's cool, and the students think it's cool, and they want my picture, their picture made with me. And so they have a blast.
Well, it is a lasting experience for all of them, and again, I think people like me who were not running in college, definitely not running in college, also though have a different, lasting experience due to races like this. So just one last question about that. Like, okay, how can you translate, let's say, what you do with those college students during your advanced running class and the mindset for that? How would you translate to that to say somebody in their late 30s, other 40s, maybe they have a kid, maybe they have two jobs, and they're running Promised Land. What would be your advice of like, hey, here's what you got to do to get through the training and get through the race?
They actually train. It is amazing that the vast majority of people who are not LU students train. The number of LU students that train as much as they should is probably just a handful of students, a handful. 95% of them don't do enough, and so they go on youth. Well, if you're not on youth, you better train then. So because there's 7,400 feet of elevation gain in the 34 miles of the course. So it's a real event. It's tough, but it's rewarding, and it's neat, and it's enjoyable, and it's pretty, beautiful.
That's that. You're right. I know probably most grown-ups are training for that,
Yep.
but I think somehow getting that youth mindset, that fun, playful mindset into not only like how they approach their race day, but also in training is important. It's hard. I think so many people can take it too seriously, but thinking about running through buildings and things like that. I mean, I do think it's great. The less serious you can take your training as far as what you're trying to do, can be really helpful. So, yeah. Well, do you have any specific race day advice for people? They're doing their first Promised Land. What are
Yes.
you going to tell them?
Walk more than you think you should.
Walk more.
Walk more. Think about your breathing rate. If you're breathing hard, you're running too fast. If you're breathing hard, you're running too fast. And what you're going to do there, you're going to burn up your glycogen stores. And glycogen is, carbohydrates stored as glycogen in the muscles and liver, and you have enough for about 20 miles there. And if you run too hard, you'll hit the wall. You hit the wall in promised land, you are in trouble. Whereas in a marathon, you'll hit it between somewhere around 18 to 22 miles. Here, where you'll hit it is when you come back up after Orchard Mountain. If you've gone 26 miles, you got, about a 3 or 4 mile climb where you gain lots of elevation. It seems like it's steeper than the Dickens. So basically, what you need to do is think about your breathing rate. If you're breathing too hard, you're running too fast, you're burning too much glycogen, and you have limited stores of glycogen. You want to burn fat, so you run at a conversational pace. And how do you go at a conversational pace? Well, you have to walk sometimes, and you'll have to walk a lot. So you walk with a purpose. That's what I always tell students: walk with a purpose, walk fast. Don't just walk slow. Don't lollygag around. Walk with a purpose, and then drink throughout. And what should you drink throughout? Well, drink the replacement drink, which will be Tailwind, but we'll also have Mountain Dew at the aid stations, which is Go Fuel, and save the Mountain Dew till the latter half of the last 3 or 4 aid stations. Drink Mountain Dew, and then eat a little bit at all the aid stations. Don't eat a lot, but eat a little bit. And drink and drink and drink. If you're not peeing once in a while, you're not drinking enough. And if you ever have your muscles starting cramping up a little bit, you're not drinking enough. Drink more fluid. You almost can't drink too much. And also, if it happens to be a hot day, which it very seldom is, there's a couple of stream crossings. Jump in, cover up, cool down. But just keep moving, and you got plenty of time. You've got 10 hours. So really, you don't have to move that fast to finish under 10 hours. And generally speaking, we have about 95, 98% of the runners who start finish under 10 hours. So keep moving and you will finish.
That's great. And I think you're right. Like the it's usually not too hot, but sometimes it does get really hot, especially up those falls. So that's always a place if it's tracking a little warm, everyone needs to make sure they bring maybe an extra water bottle or something like
Yes.
that, because
And drink out of the stream. Don't worry about that. Drink out of the stream. That stream water's good. I've drank out of it for years.
love it. And hey, you should have started, but I'm gonna fill this for you, is camp the night before and bring a chair
Yes.
day afterwards, right?
Yes. Yes. And take everything you bring home with you.
I
One of the
think.
things that I had last year, I talked to the person who is in charge of the camp in terms of taking care of everything and overseeing it. And he said, "I have a bone to pick with y'all." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I can't believe what y'all do here." And he said, I said, "Really?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When you leave, I can't find a single piece of paper and nothing around. We leave it cleaner than we found it." And I said, "That's always my objective." And so we do. We're good stewards of the place, and we recognize that it's a good relationship between both of us, and we want to continue doing that.
And I think just back to the camping, I think that is daunting for a lot of people. I'll say, not young people, where, maybe you're working all day and you're trying to organize and get out there and, sleep in a tent where you may not sleep well, and then you're waking up and you got to figure out
You
using the
won't sleep well
clothes
anywhere.
on. That's true. That's true. And putting your contacts in with your car mirror and stuff. But I will say, it does just add so much to the experience when you do sleep there and there's tents and cars everywhere, and then the camp wakes up. It's just one of the really cool mornings, I think, that you can have as an ultra runner in Virginia.
And one of the coolest things that's ever happened there at the race was Keith Nippling was sleeping right in the middle in his car in the middle of the hundreds of people there. We have, usually over 300 that start the race and close to 300 that finish the race. And then right in the middle of the field, Keith Nippling has been sleeping in his car and he overslept and woke up and looked outside and it was daylight. Oh my goodness. The only time it's ever happened to anyone, Keith Nippling.
And there is a loud person on a loud bullhorn,
Yes,
so
there is.
it is hard to sleep in if anyone's nervous about that. So,
Yep.
well, I really just have one more question for you, and that's just kind of big picture, in this ultra running continues to change, and it's getting so fast, and there's professionals and stuff. But what are some of the things that you just kind of hope will continue in the sport that you try to keep going with races like Promised Land and Hellgate?
I hope we continue doing what we're doing, having an event and having good competition in the men's field and the women's field, and people enjoying it and loving it and coming back year after year after year. And we do that. We have lots of people who come back to both races, especially Hellgate, as you well know.
Yep.
And you are famous for that, Dr. Anderson, running Hellgate and running it great. And in fact, he's the heir of the king at Hellgate. But when is it going to happen? Who knows?
Who knows?
Because since I've retired, maybe it's going to be several more years. If I live, of course, I'm getting pretty old. I'm 75 now. But anyway, I hope it continues as it is here at Hellgate. Could we, or here at Promised Land, could we have Promised Land as one of the races that would bring in elite competition again? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hellgate, could we have that as a golden ticket race? Probably, but it's not happening. Because I think it would lose the essence of it if it was a golden ticket race. It had to sell out, and we'd have to make it just for elite. And I don't
Yeah.
want Promised Land or Hellgate to be just for elite. I want fast runners there, but I want average people and lots of people coming
Yeah.
and enjoying and having a great experience.
And I think the people who come to Promised Land for the first time, you also can't help but notice the people who are older or who you just hear, this is their 20th year doing it. You know, this is their 16th year doing it. And there's a lot. And I've been around for long enough now that I've gotten to know a lot of those people. And again, to me, that's just very, very special, having that type of community. And I often tell people there's a lot of people who are, you know, getting into ultra running and they've never done Masochist or Promised Land or Terrapin. And I'm like, you gotta do these classic races because they have the history. And with that comes, it's just part of the event that I think a race that just started 3 years ago just isn't gonna have. No offense to new races. I think they're great and I wish them luck. But these classic events are really keystones that everyone should experience.
I agree.
Well, thank you for starting Promised Land. Thank you for making it an event and making everybody feel that they're part of it. And we will look forward to seeing how the 2025 edition goes. And I wish you luck because I know you're going to be busy, busy, busy and doing a lot of work in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. I appreciate it too. And I know you're a part of it, although maybe you're not racing it, but you're a special part of it. And if anything works out, I would really hope that you'd consider coming over and being a entry in the race. So
Yeah.
anyway, yes, thanks for all that you've done too, and encouraging people to come to Promised Land.
Yep. Well, we'll keep it going and thank you again for your time and until next time, okay? We'll do it again
Okay.
sometime.
See you later, John.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
In your town square, the trumpets blow. The dawn